Hello and welcome to the Paper Player Podcast, where we cover all things pertaining to paper play. I'm your host, Tony, and the few things I want to talk about today are our F&M reports, and with F&M kind of the return of it, and then we're going to follow that up by how we feel about the upcoming pre-release. I guess we'll start off with you. Jeff, how's Burn treating you?
It was all right. I went 2-2. I beat this guy playing Smog pretty easily. I also lost to a Delver player, which didn't feel good. Those were my two losses, and I beat Dredge and Smog. Nice. So I lost the mirror match to Burn, which I never really feel bad about that because at least Burn won then.
Sure.
That's how it goes.
Yeah. JB, how's your Legacy Lands treating you, man? Are you still showing off that Tabernacle?
I am, and it did a lot of work in my first round, at least, when I played against a Hogak opponent who was playing the green-black variant, so it didn't have the like hyper mill that you would get with the blue variant. And I definitely smoked him with that Tabernacle a couple of times.
That's got to feel good. Be like, oh, you don't have any land to pay for any of these creatures. They all die.
Mm-hmm. But I ended up getting smashed by a Delver player and a person who was playing playing Maverick. And it wasn't like your traditional Maverick. It had a little bit of weird, wonky stuff that he put in on his own. So it kind of threw me off a little bit, but I ended up getting smoked by both of them and getting a bye. So 2-2?
Yeah, it works better than I did. I went 1-3. Josh, what did you end up bringing ninjas, or did you go with blue-red Delver?
Hi, everyone. I took blue-red Delver to F&M this last Friday, and I beat up on a bunch of my friends, and I ended up, at the end of the night, taking first place for what it's worth. The statistic first place person left early and didn't play round 4. Finished 3-1, played blue-red Delver. I didn't make any changes to what I normally played. I had a good matchup against JB. I had a good matchup against another lands player. Interestingly enough, I finished the night off playing back-to-back rounds of Burn. The first round, I got walked all over by the Burn player, who was also the player that left early for the night. And then in the last round, it was me versus Jeff, per usual. And
we not talk about this match.
I feel like I got pretty lucky, but took the steal away in 3 wins.
Nice. Yeah, overall, I went 1-3. It was probably the worst going I've had with this deck. I've been running really hot lately, and then I just, you know, when I win, it's all skill, and then when I lose, it's all my opponent's getting incredibly lucky, and they didn't do anything to change the matchup. No, but my round 1, I played against Blue-White, and the Blue-White deck was just able to just overpower me with their Planeswalkers. They consistently got Jaces and Gideons, and I couldn't contest them. My round 2, I played against Infect, which his list was kind of outdated, and I was just able to beat him up with Thoughtseize and Fatal Push. And then because I was doing that and he was trying to protect his creatures, he just had no interaction for my combo, so I was able to combo him pretty easily. Round 3, I played against Jeff, who just demolished me with Burn. It was kind of a no contest. Round 4, I played against a Sultai opponent that was not on small combo, but he was on like the Shardless Agent variant where they just always cascade into Ice Fang Quaddle or Baleful Strix, just getting so much card advantage. I just couldn't keep up with that deck. So when I was trying to Thoughtseize him, he was always gaining 2 cards for 1. So it just ended up in his favor. But yeah, the F&M that we attended was fantastic. Everything fired, every format, Pioneer, Legacy, Modern, even Standard fired, which kind of blew my mind. And the people, to be honest, that were playing Standard were people I did not recognize at all. Other than that, everybody else I've seen in the past. And then just the sheer amount of people there was fantastic. The amount of trading that was going on, and there was multiple commander pods at all times. So it was wild.
Yeah, I've always really enjoyed doing trading. So I was really happy that everyone, you know, brought their binders and everyone was like, oh yeah, let me look through your stuff. Oh, let me look. And, you know, there's a bunch of small stuff going on, a lot of big stuff. It was kind of nice to finally get back to that.
It was very reminiscent of childhood Magic.
Yeah.
That F&M. It felt very special. Everyone had a smile on. Everyone was looking to interact. Everyone wanted to hear what everyone was on, what everyone was building, doing. It was just an all around good time.
Yeah.
And to see Standard firing, that's what Wizards wants, right?
It was, like I said, brand new faces. It was nuts. Like, I was like, I've never seen these individuals, and I have to believe that Arena is doing that.
That's a great analysis there. I didn't even think about that, but mm-hmm. Yeah, that's probably the root cause.
I haven't been this excited to, like, wait for a round to start and stuff. I know, like, every time I'd finish a round, I'd always be looking at my phone, like, oh, when's the next round going to start? I haven't been this excited to play Magic in a long time, and it felt really good. It felt cool to see everyone we knew. It felt cool to play against new people. overall, it was just a really good experience, and I'm excited we're going to be able to do this every Friday again.
Oh, yeah.
On that topic, there was the release of, or this is our first introduction to paper in-store play with the companion app, rather than a DCI number. And I had a little experience with the companion app through quarantine, through like Discord tournaments, but I thought that it went pretty smoothly, and it didn't seem to show any issues to me. I liked having my phone on me to see when the pairing showed up. How about you guys?
When it comes to the companion app, I'm torn on it because I really miss my old DCI number, and I miss not. I guess I would like to see it from a store's perspective and how they manage people getting in with the event code, right? Like this event, the store that we went to offered free everything that night, and that's fantastic. It was a great way to bring people in, kind of just like a, hey, as long as you guys show up and show us support, we're gonna give you this event. Thank you. And then going forward, payments. So how, like, I wonder how that's going to go and how they're gonna be able to keep track of who paid them and who didn't. Whereas the old system was, I get payment, I put you into the DCI reporter. Whereas now, if I have the code, I can go tell my friend the code and they might not have paid. So I wonder what the store's dilemma might be from that standpoint. It shouldn't be too awkward, but I'm just thinking of like the guy that's trying to like sneak in the F&M that didn't pay. And then all of a sudden, at the end of the night, the shop keeps got to kind of hunt him down. But companion, overall, I like it. Like you said, just being able to check on your phone when the matchup, and it lets you know immediately.
Kind of sad thinking that your DCI number is gone and there's nothing you can do about it.
The only thing that I see as a problem beyond what Tony was already talking about with the whole how do you keep track of who's paid, who's not, is also the fact that you have the ability to basically snipe the match by reporting before your opponent does, and I don't know how they resolve that.
Or even if you just fumble it, like what happens if you fumble it?
Yeah, I mean, that can get weird too, right? There's got to be a way for them internally to do it. I'd love to speak with somebody. Maybe I'll speak with ShopKeep soon just to see how that goes. Because this upcoming one's not going to be free. It's going to be paid. So it'll be interesting how they keep track of that. And then what happens if a mistake? Is it a quick swap? Or, I mean, if to get a repair, you don't have to go through the whole thing of undoing the round, then putting in the matches manually. Because I've had experience with the DCI reporter. It is not as fun system. When a match is screwed up, aside from like they had a DCI reporter for store levels and they had one for like tournaments. The tournament one, you were able to just resolve someone's match real quickly. But when in the store version, you have to undo the incomplete round and then manually put in everybody's matches again, which is just a complete headache.
No, that sounds like very poor planning,
It
but
was just an old system, and
right.
people could go in there and manually change that. And that I think the reason why the whole competitive scene, the reason why they've gone away from like FNMs being worth anything is just so many people back then used to just go in there and just change your own results. Like my friend's the shopkeep, and I need my ELO rating to be 1950 so I get by. So even if I lose today, after you've done payout, I'm gonna go in there and change it anyways.
Wow.
Yeah, that
I
was a
believe that happened,
that
but
happened
like
a ton. A lot of people got banned.
a lot of people go into stores too and like with a friend be like, "Hey, I'm gonna play against this friend of mine in a game of Magic. Can you pop up the reporter and run it as like a match?" And people would do this repeatedly. I remember hearing about people doing it. You just go into a shop, ask them to run it like it would be a tournament, but only have two people and just constantly play to get your Elo
Yeah,
up.
it was a while. The old system was horrendous.
So this is all news to me. It's crazy to me. That seems like that's mind blowing.
Well,
I mean,
they had to discard the system for that reason. It was just
I
so
was
much
gonna say it
I
was
believe it.
outdated as hell.
But yeah. So any highlights that you guys want to kind of bring up from FNM? What was your favorite thing that happened?
I mean, I got a huge trade done, so I ended up picking up like five minty duels, which was pretty sweet for my beta Taiga. So I'm pretty pumped about having a bunch of options to play now in Legacy.
Nice.
That was quite the highlight of the night. There was a lot of pictures taken. It definitely stole the show. It even made the shop like the shop feel really proud to see that something like that level happened in their store.
That's really cool.
Honestly, I think my favorite thing of the whole night is after everyone left, the last round of Modern was still going on, and the people playing for first, it was Burn versus Blue White, and it was just such an epic like turnout because like the Burn player played Exquisite Firecraft while the Blue White player was at three, and the Blue White player like dug and dug and dug and hit that one Aether Gust to bounce
Nice.
it, and came back and won after snapcastering it back next turn to stop it again.
That's so funny.
It was so crazy that I have not seen an epic match of Magic like that in a long time. Like, there was people crowding around, people were cheering. It was insane.
Dude, that's so awesome. I miss that. I think me and JB left early because we went to go get Midnight Malt as normal.
I was nice. Very, very tired.
I mean, I think we covered everything on FNM. I'm so excited that we get to experience this now again, and I just see the community growing and growing, because I think a lot of people wanted to attend. They just couldn't accumulate cards fast enough, because it was just like, oh, wait, this is actually happening? Okay, well, maybe I got to start getting cards, and then all of a sudden you realize, oh, there's a new set. Yeah, yeah. And then you're like, new set, the new set's coming out, and then you're just making that decision of, well, I'm just going to wait, and then when the new set drops, I'll make my deck for Modern or whatever format.
Not to mention the anxiety. There's like, if you don't have like a person that's going to FNM with you, there's a high level of anxiety going to your first FNM.
Oh, for sure. Mm-hmm. Especially in a, 15 months.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah,
first
level,
first like outing since, all the restrictions pandemic. Have been lifted or whatever. So.
Yeah, that too. There's that too. All right, guys. The pre-release is coming up this week. The only thing that's a little bit different about Modern Horizons 2 pre-release is, I think this is the first time they've actually done a pre-release for this kind of supplemental set. In the past, they've never done pre-releases. It's only just been for the standard sets. Sets like Conspiracy never had pre-releases, and normally with like Modern Horizons 1, we typically ran into the store just running like a release event, not a pre-release. So this is kind of new territory for us from a pricing standpoint. And then not to mention, on top of that, we're a week removed from it because it actually got pushed back.
For what it's worth, this is marketed as like a standard release set. There's normal boosters, there's set boosters, there's collector boosters. This is just a premium standard set that's not in standard, for like lack of a better term.
And that's kind of what I was talking about last week, where I feel like they're starting to market paper play towards Modern. And I know Tony was talking about the fact that there were a bunch of people playing, well, not a bunch, but some people playing standard. But I think that's the foot in the door that gets them to the Modern step where, you have 20 plus people playing like we did this week.
5 rounds.
Yep.
Yeah.
The only thing that sucks about like trying to get people into Modern through standard is I feel like the standard cards aren't even the staple ones anymore, though. Or I mean, there isn't even staple, but like, it's like, oh yeah, you have your $50 standard deck. Come play like an $800 Modern deck.
Yeah,
like, it's such a leap.
It'll be interesting to see where Pioneer's chance to flush is now. Like, it has to
now or never.
Now or never, because like otherwise, people, if Modern just fires off like this, people are just going to gravitate towards that. Unless there does happen to procure like a very heavy overlap between Pioneer and Modern, I just see Pioneer falling through the cracks.
That's what I was thinking of when I was talking more about the releases, because when you look at a lot of the decks that are currently expensive, right, a lot of it is built around the fetches, the shocks, and a couple of like key cards. And as they release more sets like this, where they have a bunch of fetches coming in a bunch of different styles that are going to drop the pricing, I feel like it's going to help push it towards newer players, right?
Right.
If you can pick up a set of Scalding Tarns for $100 versus like right now where it's probably like $240, $220, it's definitely going to help out the format like get bigger and grow.
Yeah, it's exciting. I really like that aspect. This Modern Horizons 2, the way it feels to me is how Return to Ravnica felt. It brought so many old players back into the game because it also had Shock Lens, and those things were highly desired at the time because it was only in the original Ravnica block, and Modern was a format then. And when those things came in, so much product was bought, and then because of all that product being purchased, Standard flourished. Now, will that be the same thing that kind of happens with Pioneer? Probably not. Pioneer's, it's in a really difficult spot because it is competing with Historic. And after the whole Historic debacle of this weekend where all the decks played Brainstorm, people might be kind of off of Historic. But Modern is just what people want to play. And with sets like this that are geared towards Modern and Legacy players, it really draws people away from Pioneer. And Standard's like the entry-level format, but there's not a lot of cards in Standard that really translate to Pioneer.
For what it's worth, I don't think I would build a paper Historic deck.
I actually did build a paper Historic deck just because I liked it that much, but I did not ever play it, and it wasn't like a real competitive one. It was just kind of like a goofy, fun one if someone happened to have one.
Man, if I can build blue red Phoenix for historic and play that in paper. I'd love to. Faithless Looting and Brainstorm. Whew.
How do you feel about having a paper historic deck?
I'd play it.
Isn't
100%.
that a slippery slope though? Because like they can just like ban your card for no reason, or like not with no reason, but with like no like warning.
They can do that with any format now.
I mean, I guess that's it's not how it used to be anymore, where there was always like a set determined Monday.
Yeah, now it's just whenever they feel like it, they can ban a card.
Well, they're doing this because, well, the amount of Magic that's getting played on Arena versus anywhere else is just so much higher. People get annoyed. Like, you can play 20 standard matches in 3 hours, depending on the
That's
deck that you're
true.
playing. So, whereas if we go back, in time, a lot of people's card interaction was on Friday. They got once a week, 4 rounds. Now people just have so much more. So when things are problematic, like, I guess, Time Warp, because that was the ban that happened today, I believe, they just need to axe it, because they can probably see, like, oh, people before the tournament, before like the Time Warp deck was the best deck, they could see that people were playing and flourishing. After this, they could just see the sheer numbers going straight down. They're like, okay, what's gotta happen? Why is this happening? And I mean, they have all the data on their side, so they're gonna be able to see, like, okay, well, we can see that people's play patterns are going down due to the win rate or the toxicity of a deck going up.
It's funny
But
when you mention play time per game, because I used to play Historic purely to play games that took 2 minutes and get my daily gold all the time because it was super easy and super simple. So I'd get like 30 games done in 30 minutes and it was great.
yeah.
do you, as the, unknowing FNM player who knows that he can bring his historic deck to FNM, want to be subjugated to the online toxicity because a card got banned in this guy's pet deck that he spent his, weeks worth of allowance on or whatever, just got banned out of the format because of the online meta?
Right.
I don't feel like historic is a format that you spend your allowance to play. I feel like that's more of a standard thing. Like going into any format that's eternal, like past standard, it's like risky to do that. They're gonna ban stuff like all the time. I mean, when's the last time we haven't had a ban? Like, I don't
They can
remember
also
that.
just add, or like the with the historic like
Apologies.
anthologies,
They can
like
add answers.
right. Historic also has the fact that it doesn't cost anything to play, and that you can use your wild cards to get your deck built or whatever. Do you want suddenly to have, historic to be a paper sanctioned format, and that prices are now going to be affected by the occurrence of the online deck?
I look at it more as a EDH alternative because I'm not a huge fan of EDH and everyone always offers EDH. I would much rather someone come up to me and say, "Hey, I got a goofy historic deck. You want to play historic?"
I guess, but I guess at that point, can't you just pull out your cell phone and be like, can you play on Arena? I can send you a direct challenge.
You could, but I prefer having cards in my hand. I know Tony is kind of the same way, like having the
Yeah.
physical cards in your
Same.
hand feels way better when you're playing. It's just more fun, and I feel like you're more focused.
Just to me, who tries to minimize my Magic collection as much as possible, it just feels obnoxious for me to have a pioneer. Like, it feels obnoxious for me to spend resources into a pioneer deck when I want to play Legacy and Modern.
For
You
sure.
mean historic?
Yeah, sorry, a historic deck. For the time being, because like there's already three sanctioned paper formats that we've just net mentioned: Pioneer, Modern, and Legacy. To have another fourth one, like to have another responsibility or whatever to keep up with, and
I mean, you
just
also don't have to play the
that's right.
format.
That's why I started led the conversation saying I don't think I would build a paper historic deck. I would just keep it online.
I mean, that's why I was making the comparison to what EDH used to be. I mean, people play and build purely EDH now, and there's people who don't play anything but EDH. But it used to be that you would bring your EDH deck to FNM to play in between rounds while you're awaiting.
That's a clever idea. Realistically, that's all I do anymore anyways, just build EDH decks, even though I don't play it as much as I would like to. The big most fun I pull out of Magic the Gathering is building an EDH deck.
When it comes to EDH, I do like I love the competitive side of EDH, But realistically, the most fun, I'm with you on that, is just building random nonsense decks.
Like right.
My favorite thing to do is build decks under $20 that are still like competitive.
Right.
Like, to a degree. Like there's only so much you can do.
It does its plan.
Yeah.
So and that's like what that's for. If you lose the pet pod, you can say, I did the thing. And, you know, raise your hand up. Like the little things in Magic.
EDH, when you look at it, it's like a board. It's more or less like a board game where everybody's bringing in like a plan, and then you just need to kind of execute that plan. Whether that plan be I'm going to beat everybody by damage, or I'm going to mill everybody out, or I'm going to do like an alternate win condition, whatever it may be, or just do something ridiculous that's just unseen that it hasn't been seen before. A meme deck, you name it. That's kind of what EDH is. When you go to like a 60 card, you know, competitive format, the goal essentially is just to win. I mean, I remember back in the day of the standard, people used to bring meme decks. Like this is my Kosi's Trickster deck, and all of my effects inside of the deck make you shuffle so they can get a 1/1 counter on my deck. Right. And it's like, okay, your deck is terrible, but this is like, okay, like sure. And now that is now expressed through EDH. It's just, you could like, this is my scroll deck, even though those are going to be probably pretty competitive from now on. And all those things, there's just so many different ways. And you can see that their product, not just Commander Legends, but every product has a little bit of EDH in it.
This set in particular, even.
Oh yeah, for sure.
That's my toxic Magic trait. I have one deck that can transfer between Legacy and Modern, and then I have 17 EDH decks.
Yeah. We should do some kind of form of player video or sometime, which is all of us, but all the rules is your EDH has to be under $20. Like the whole thing.
Easy. We've done that already.
Yeah, like, I mean, it's a lot of fun because it makes you go and find. Like, you're like, oh, I want this effect, but this effect is a $4 card. Right. What can you I find? It stops like stifle abilities.
$4 card in your deck. Oh my God.
Rogak for days.
Yeah.
Yeah, we did a $50 one, and it was definitely, it was not easy.
It could have been easier than I made it, but.
Right.
I
mean,
we got random generals, and I got stuck with clones, and apparently clone cards aren't cheap.
Right. I also got wizards when we did that, and wizards aren't cheap either.
No. With this pre-release that is coming out this upcoming weekend, today is June 9th. How do you guys feel that it's been out for a week already on Magic Online? A lot of the hype is kind of gone.
I guess it is. It does seem kind of like everyone's going to be trying to get the monkey because it's $100 right now according to online prices. So like everyone's going to have the same idea of like what cards are good. So it does take the hype away and like kind of takes away the surprise, but I still think Magic players are going to eat it all up, myself included.
I'm excited because like I've been purposely like, kind of staying away from like play sealed on Moto or like play like Legacy. I've been kind of staying away because I wanted to be excited about this set. I'm definitely going to pre-release on Friday. I'm more or less just excited to crack packs, man, and play. Like, I don't think my hype or excitement has gone down even though it's been out a week, but again, I've been purposely staying away from like watching people play it and stuff.
I'm hoping to try and get a pre-release in on Sunday, whether it's a draft or just pack warring or something. But
I like having this just because I'm a really bad deck builder, and so I am very not great at evaluating cards. I'm very not great at figuring out what's going to be good enough unless it's just overly broken. So having a lot of guideposts that come from like MTGO records really helps me figure out where I want to focus in terms of trading when I go to FNM and people are opening packs.
I mean, I've always loved sealed. Sealed's like one of my favorite formats, and the fact that we can do this. The only downside is it's a little expensive for sealed, but that's okay. I'm willing to do a couple of them, but I love sealed so much because it just gives you opportunity to play with cards that you never would touch in any other circumstance.
I am more of a draft guy, but and sealed and draft are very, very different. They're both fun in their own right, but I can appreciate a good sealed.
This is going to be a fun sealed because, like Tony was saying, there's a lot of cards I think that look exciting in this set, but there is a lot of them won't see play in a 60 card format. So playing sealed, it'll be a lot of fun to play some of these like modular cards that won't see play outside, or affinity cards, or you know, all these like crazy like free spells and stuff like that.
All the so dudes.
Most of those will see play, but I'm talking more about the suspend cards, like because I don't think all of those will see play, but
right.
It's a fun format, mm-hmm. and like it's random. That's what I like about it. It's not like someone's packing 15 cards in their sideboard just to stop you.
That's the beautiful thing about Sealed is you can teach people how to play the game of Magic and you'd be like, what do I need to show up? You just need $40 or $50 to get in this and you're good to go and you're on the same playing field as everybody else.
Right.
It's all about expressing yourself.
Yeah, with draft, if someone's never drafted before, it's very difficult for them because just the time limit, the card evaluation, and where you want to go. Whereas when you look at Sealed, you're like, here's 6 packs. Make something happen, man.
Right. Yeah. Have fun.
You're only seeing each pack as it's getting passed to you in draft and sealed. You're looking at your entire pool instead of building it. Mm-hmm. So it does make it a lot easier.
Yeah. Even though I think drafting is a lot easier nowadays, just because everybody who is probably playing Magic is also on Arena, I would have to guess that everybody drafts on Arena.
Oh, yeah. I draft at least once a day on Arena.
So I guess that kind of brings it to the end of our topics. The question of the week that I have for you guys is, do you think Pioneer is going to survive through 2022?
I don't think so. I think Pioneer is already a dead format.
I think it's dead.
When it was at its prime, it was all combos and people hated it. Then they banned all the combos and now no one plays it still because now it's just Battlecruiser Magic. Mm. I don't enjoy it. I never really did, to be honest. It just made me want to play Modern more. So I'm hoping maybe these people that were playing Pioneer are going to come to Modern by 2022, but we'll see.
I don't think if Wizards is going to stick all their eggs in Modern's basket with this set that they're knocking out of the park, I don't think there's a reason to like support Pioneer. So I don't think it'll live very much longer.
I personally hate Pioneer purely because it it promised something to people who were deck brewers, right? It was a new format. No one had any idea what to do for the first 3 months. It was really cool. It enticed all these people who used to play Modern and make weird decks all the time for Modern to come do it in Pioneer because there was no format. But as soon as those 3 months were over and you had a dominating deck, all the people who play Pioneer basically just stopped playing Magic in general because they traded away all their Modern stuff or partially traded their Modern stuff out to get Pioneer cards to play with. So I have a real dislike of Pioneer, and I don't ever want to see it do well.
I want this to fail. I don't want people to have alternatives. I want people to play the same thing I'm playing.
100%. I don't think I want it to fail. I just don't think it will. I think there's too many like similarities with Historic. There's not enough, and Historic has just got much more like to offer, and it's much less of a burden on your wallet, kind of, because the wallet, or I guess the economy on Arena is kind of wonky, but you can in theory play it for free and like have the same amount of time or the fun with it. It'd be interesting to see how the Magic the Gathering competitive circuits pick up with Pioneer. I think if there is any chance for it to survive, some circuit in the United States or foreign would have to pick it up and support it.
Yeah, I mean, they'll be able to know. I mean, what's going to stink is just the overall feel of like trios. I'd rather have like Team Unified Modern where your team has to bring 3 different Modern decks or 3 different Legacy decks, even maybe 3 Pioneer decks. But like right now, my team that I'm going to bring to a team event, I have to be in the Pioneer seat because both of those individuals refuse to play Pioneer or good decks. So I just have to sit there and watch them and just suffer while they play outdated decks like Jund.
Yeah, I was about to say, I definitely will never touch Pioneer if I'm in your group, ever.
That's what I'm saying. I think actually you as a Pioneer player are probably highly valued because there's so few of you.
Right.
You're going to be like, all right, if you want me to be on your team, $100, pay for my hotel and all my food.
Woo. To be fair, me and Josh are pretty lucky because the friend that we normally would have on our team,
he's all about Pioneer.
Yeah, he played Standard like while we were always playing Modern and Legacy. So Pioneer isn't too far off from Standard. So it kind of works for him. He just plays it and I normally play Modern and Josh plays Legacy.
Perfect, guys. All right, I think that's where we're going to call it a show. I'm going to kind of end off by just saying we are on Facebook. Check us out under Paper Player Podcast. You can find us on Facebook. You follow us on Twitter. And then feel free to send us questions to our email box at paperplayerpodcast@gmail.com.
Listen to us on Spotify. It's super easy.
Bada boom. All right, thanks, guys.